that there are things in this world that we do not need as a Christian to involve ourselves in, that we will quickly turn to you and we will move with you away from those things which are going to be harmful. Harmful to our walk, harmful to our witness. It's not just a thing of living according to laws, trying to save ourselves, because that's legalism. We don't want to be legalistic. But we want to be effective for the King who saved us. We would be single of heart, that when we call on you as our Lord, we would want only to follow you. That you would protect us from deception and help us to walk with you so that we can be effective for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. What we find in this next scene that we see in this picture is even 1,000 years with the perfect ruler doesn't keep the flesh from rebelling. Because what we find is they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. So they're deceived, these nations, and what do? They immediately go and they start working against God, trying to defeat God and his purpose. And so what we find is it's no contest for God. It isn't like God's over here wringing his hands saying, oh no, they're going to come out and battle against me. But what you find is instantly fire came down from God out of heaven and just devoured those who were coming against. So we got to understand, they're not going to win. But we need to warn people as well. What if the rapture happened today and we're all caught up into heaven and there's a group of people that are still left here? We need to warn them that whenever they see that we've disappeared, they need to turn their life over to Christ if they're still here and do it quick. Do it real quick. Even if it means they get martyred for the faith, they need to do it real quick because it'll be worth it, because I'll tell you, not only will they have an entire tribulation of 7 years of just so much pain that the world has never seen ahead of them, if they don't get right with God and they made it through that 7 years and got thrust into this time, or if they die during that 7 years as an unbeliever, because many people are going to die during that 7 years as unbelievers, the next thing they're going to see is this final judgment. And if their name is not found written in the book of life, they're going to hell forever. Even if they just die in this lifetime and they're not found written in the book of life, they're going to be held up during our first resurrection whenever the believers are caught up with God. They're going to be held in the grave until the second resurrection to be judged and thrown into the lake of fire. This is reality. This is not just a Christian, you know, dogma that some people believe. This is the truth that God is telling us, and he's warning us so that we'll warn others, as well as making sure that we are right with God. That group is going to come together, and that weakness of flesh is going to be deceived by Satan, and they're going to come out and posture themselves against God, but it's no contest. At this point, judgment has come. And God's destruction is just. When we read verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. That beast and false prophet have been in there for 1,000 years. And you know what? They're still in there. You know why? Because that lake of fire is forever. It's a second death that just keeps going on, and the people are never able to escape it. It's like dying forever. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but the idea of that point of death, you know, is not necessarily to be feared by a Christian, but we understand it's a point of no return. It's a point that either is going to open us up into the presence of God, who Jesus is our Savior, and that we actually, like, spiritually get to stand before him immediately. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? But if you don't know Christ, it's not going to be awesome. And I hear so many lost people saying, I just wish I could die. And I'm going to tell you, that's a lie that Satan's putting in their head. Because if a lost person dies, it ain't going to get better for them. It's going to get worse. They're going to be held in a place of torment until the day that the lake of fire is finally opened up and the final judgment comes, and then their torment is just going to get worse. And I know, you know, I don't bring you here. You probably said, I came to church because I want to feel better. But guys, this is the truth. And before we can really feel better, we need to face up to the truth. Make sure our life is right. And then be about helping to build the kingdom and warning people as they come. Not because we feel like we have to do it in our own strength. We are doing this with Christ because, you see, he's warning us. He wrote an entire book here to warn us so that we would understand what the reality of this really looks like. You know, whenever I get to this next verse, verse 11, I can only think of one thing. And on the title of the slide, I just put that one thing. And it was that scripture from Hebrews 10:31 that says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Do I get an amen, church? It is a fearful thing to know that people are going to fall into the hands of the living God. And we see it played out here in Revelation 20 and verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Listen to what it says. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. They couldn't hide. When that time comes, there's not going to be any hiding from it. We don't see this being set up like one of our courtrooms where you've got two lawyers that are trying to lie their person out of hell. What we find is there's one judge. And he sits on the throne and he makes the final judgment and you cannot hide from it. And so it's very necessary that we know before we leave this realm that we're ready. Because there's no second chances. Because there's no place found for them who don't find their names in that book of life. You see, your works will not save you at that time either. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 13, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And I can tell you, as we see, the only thing that allows you to go into the place of being, you know, in heaven forever is whether or not your name is found in the book of life. The works that it's talking about here only seal the deal for those whose name is not in the book of life. It just proves that they deserve everything that they're getting. Because to sin against an eternal God brings about eternal consequences. And so it's so important that we make sure that's settled in our life and that we are about working with God to help other people be prepared. Amen. In that verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. This seems to be like the final cleansing of the heavens and the earth that were mentioned by Peter whenever we look, you know, in Revelation 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. What is Hades? Hades is the place of the dead. And so what it's saying is that death itself is going to be non-existent after this moment, because everyone that's left after this moment will live forever with God. If you're with God at this moment, you will be with God forever in the state of real life, eternal life. But if you're not, then you're going to be cleansed from the face of the earth, and everything that is not, you know, it's not right with God is going to be cleansed from the heavens. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth that's going to be exposed after this moment. It says, then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen to what in 2 Peter, what the Apostle Peter says, and I believe it's about this moment. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away and with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. What does fervent heat do? Cleanses. You know, I'm always reminded, you know, my parents taught me that if you need to pull a splinter out of my finger and I look around for a needle, the best thing to do is to, you know, have a little fire and sterilize the end of that needle before I put it into my skin, because we want to make sure every germ is gone. Everything is cleansed. And God is going to basically do that with everything that exists to prepare a perfect place for a perfect heaven for the rest of forever. Can you imagine forever? How long is forever? Can anybody tell me? It's forever. I mean, we just can't find a better word for it, can we? Forever is forever. It's eternity. That's what we're talking about. It never has an end. Can you imagine being in a perfect place forever? And you know who I want to see there? I want to see you. You know who else I want to see there? I want to see my family. And yes, I heard Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus there. But I want to see you there too. And whenever I walk around and I meet a new person and I wonder, where are they with Christ? I think to myself, I want to see them there. Amen? I can't force them. I can't talk them into it. Have you ever tried to argue somebody into heaven? How'd it work? You can't do it because this is not a human enterprise. But I'll tell you one thing you can do. You can be a good example. You can allow God to use you to maybe express, say, or do something that might point their eyes to heaven, to God. And then, this is the most important part, you can pray for them. You can start praying for them. And you can keep praying for them. Because I'm going to tell you, God's the only one who can change their heart. He's the only one that can open up their spiritual eyes in such a way that they can actually see Him. So you need to pray for them more than anything. But man, don't we want to see Him in heaven? Nevertheless, it says in verse 13 of that 2 Peter 3 verse passage, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And I'll tell you, in me, in my flesh, there's no righteousness. So it's the part that Christ has saved that's going to get to dwell there. Amen? And that's, if I give Him everything, then all of me will get to be able to be there because He wipes my sin away. Praise Jesus that He's offering that to not only us, but to all who will receive Him. To all who believe in His name, He gives them the right to become children of God. Not according to my will or their will or any will of man, but according to the will of God. We need to pray for them. Now I'm going to shift the attention back to ourselves. Is your name in the book of life? And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in lake fire. Well, I want to remind us something about if your name is in the book of life, I want to reassure you of something. Praise God. God's not going to just erase you out of it. And you do want to set your heart to follow Him with all your heart, but I don't want you to be unsteady in that because you're going to make mistakes along the way. Listen to what it says back in Revelation 3, 5 through 6. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Yes, it's a call to overcome. It's a call to finish with God. But I can tell you, it'll be His strength that helps you finish with them. Amen? But I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're going to end with that main thought. Is your name in the book of life? I pray it already is. I pray you've already confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you're living for him today. I see evidence in a lot of lives around me, and I praise God for that. But I can tell you, only you and God know if your heart's really there. That's between you and him on a personal level. And you just, every day when you get up in the morning, you need to make your calling and election sure. Say, God, I'm reporting for duty this morning. Show me if I'm lacking anywhere in my life. I want to know. And then go forward with him. Don't look back. Go forward with him. Amen. God meets us where we are. Go forward with him and say, lead me, Jesus. You're my Lord. I pray that's how you're living. I pray that's where your heart is. Let's pray together, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. Dear Father, as we go in this time of invitation, if there's anybody in the room that realizes they need to give their life to Christ, they need to make sure their name is in that book of life, then I pray that today would be the day. They would just surrender to you. It really doesn't take a whole lot of anything more complicated than that. We're not having to come up with all the right answers to the questions. We only need to know the answer to one question. How then can I be saved? And it's through Jesus Christ alone. Through faith alone in Jesus. So I pray that if anybody needs to place their faith in you, today would be the day. And it won't be a secret faith. If we give our heart to Jesus, it winds up being a public thing. Because it says in the scripture that if we believe in you and believe that God raised you up from the dead, that your Father raised you up from the dead, and confess you as our Lord, that we shall be saved. So I pray that today would be the day that we would make sure that we are in that book of life and that we go forward with you. Lord, please bless everyone that's in this room. There's other decisions that need to be made as well. You're dealing with people. And I leave it in your hands. Whatever they need to do to say their next yes to Jesus. Yes for salvation. Yes in the sanctification process. There may be that one bad habit they need to give up. There may be that one thing that they need to settle with another person because they know that it needs to be dealt with. There may be that one thing. That one thing. Whatever it may be, saying yes to Jesus is the right thing. And we'll let you help us deal with what to do next. It's not all up to us. It's up to us to follow you. So help us, Lord, in this day. In Jesus' name, amen.